Side, presented by Milton Cat Dealer Group and Get to Work, located on Cat Lane in Richmond. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm Michael Lear, and we're going to be using this platform to get as many alumni interviews as we can over the next handful of weeks and try to bring you tons of UVM athletics content as time goes on. We're going to start it off with a UVM Men's Hockey Hall of Famer in Jamie Seifers in the class of 2006. And Jamie, thanks so much for joining us here remotely. I know you got a lot going on, as we all do right now.
Yeah, me too. It's in crazy times, obviously. So it's a pleasure to be on the phone with you finally.
All right, so I guess the first question that I'm sure people want to know, let's start with what you're up to now, and we can go with what you are usually up to and then transition into what you've been up to the last couple weeks.
So obviously, having retired from hockey and moving back to Burlington, things have changed quite a bit, and I kind of went for a full career change and joined the med device sales world. So I worked for Smith & Nephew the last 6-7 months, and things have been going really well. So learning something new is pretty cool, and other than that, just progressively getting more settled in our house. South Burlington is a place we've owned a house for a while now, and finally getting back into town and getting settled in has been great for my wife and my two little ones. So, the last couple of weeks have been obviously interesting for us and everybody else in the world. So, it's nice to be not alone in that aspect, but definitely picking up some new jobs, so to speak, over the last couple of weeks, and one of which is math teacher. And if any of my university math teachers are listening right now, they'd probably be laughing, but second grade math has proven to be a little more difficult than I thought.
That's tough. So what's homeschooling been like? Have you been a good teacher? Have you gotten in little arguments here and there, or what's it like?
You know what, I had to YouTube something right away, because they're teaching it a little bit different than we learned it. But, yeah, I'd say I'm a pretty good teacher. Yeah, I drink a lot of coffee, so I'm always alert and wide awake. And we try to – my wife and I does a really good job creating a routine for the girls. So we try to kind of mock the school day as best as we can. And obviously there's a lot of playtime involved and that sort of thing to get the energy out of them and try to grab some focus. But with a kindergartner and a second grader, sometimes that can be interesting. But – we're making do, and we're trying to stay positive every day and just kind of do our part and, stay at home and not travel out too much.
So I know that I called you a couple minutes late because I was on the phone with Jeff Hill, and he's an assistant coach now, but I know a former teammate of yours under Coach Sneddon too. So a lot of the questions I'm going to ask you will either stem from either Sneddy or Hilly. Can you kind of start and just kind of give us can you give us a little bit of a look at your relationship? Let's start with Coach Sneddon over the years and all the way through your hockey career up till now, and we'll get to Hilly in a little bit.
Well, actually, the first time I met Sneddy was during his interview for the job here at UVM. So, obviously, I was really excited. He was one of my favorite candidates, and I was excited that he, was offered the job and accepted it. And from then on, we've had a terrific relationship. He's been a huge mentor to me, and while I was here at school, I was, in a leadership position pretty early on, and he walked me through that and helped me out a ton. So he taught me a lot of lessons that I carried with me in my hockey days and obviously personal life too. So he's always been a solid for me and someone that I could always lean on if I needed him. So just a terrific guy all around, and I do love our relationship.
So you mentioned leadership, and I know that, just being around the program for me for 2 years and coming in really last year and not knowing that much about it, I have heard Jamie Seifers being mentioned as one of the best captains that the university has ever had. What did that role mean to you, and what have you seen out of captains of UVM since then? Do you keep in contact with the captains? Are you always texting the guys, or is it kind of just watching them develop over their years?
You know what? Everybody will say it. Anyone who wears a letter for a team or a bigger, bigger part of university will say how much of an honor it is. And that's exactly what it is. And especially when you're voted on by your teammates. So it's one of the most meaningful things you can ever take on. And I enjoyed the pressure of it. Through my 3 years at UVM, there are definitely some obstacles, and that's when you lean on your players and you start to branch out a little bit and find those resources that you need to be a good leader and kind of develop that way. So as far as UVM goes, I've followed the team every single year. I've been closer with different classes than others, only because I really haven't been in the area. But lately, having been back and having guys come visit, we had a terrific amount of guys at Snetty's last home game, a little while ago, and been able to reconnect with guys. So there's been a tremendous amount of exceptional characters that have worn letters for the school. I mean, you can go on and on, and you got the Torrey Mitchells, you got the Kevin Millers, you got Lodemeyer this year, who did a terrific job under a tough season, but great leader, and I got to know him a little bit too. So definitely now that I'm back in the area, hopefully I'll have more of a relationship with the leaders on the team and also the players too. So I know a lot of alums in the area. This place is littered with them. Guys are looking forward to, kind of continuing and growing our relationship with the current players.
So before we get to the positives and all these fun moments that I want to ask you about, what was hard? As I mentioned, people said that you were really a rock of the team for a while, but what was some of the most challenging things of being that guy, or even just the most challenging things about your college career?
Kind of taking the leadership point of an entire team is something you have to understand, that it's not just you. And I had an unbelievable supporting cast in my class, but also other classes as well. So obviously a unique situation when I moved into the role my sophomore year. The guys older than me in the junior senior classes, respected me and weren't pissed off about it or anything like that, and helped me kind of grow into the role. So the experience was great for me, very positive. There were definitely some obstacles. I mean, when your team's not doing very well, or you're doing really well, those are two different beasts you have to deal with. But like I said, you're going through this with 25 other guys, and you're learning stuff from them every day, and they're supporting you. You can lean on certain players and your assistants, and even the coaching staff. So I was able to do that. I was blessed with a great team and a great group of guys. Especially my 06 class was amazing. So that definitely was a huge contributing factor to kind of growing into the role and having it be a great memory for me.
When you say memory, what would stand out the most about your time? Like, when you look back at, think about UVM hockey, was it games? Was it practices? What was the thing that stands out the most as far as your memories?
Oh man. I mean, any hockey player, like, especially now since I retired, you miss the group of guys that you get to see every day. You go through everything together. When you're at school, it's only a 30 game season, but you're working out in the off seasons and the summers. It's a full brotherhood, and that's one of the biggest things that you miss. And fortunately, moving back here, a lot of my former teammates currently live here, so we kind of have the team back together again. Whether it was different classes we didn't play with before, we have a great group of guys, and we're all hockey guys, so we all get along well together, and that sort of thing. But you know what, playing, we were having success, and we had those home games at the gut. There was nothing like it. I mean, we beat Dartmouth in a playoff game at home, and it literally, I get chills just thinking about it. And there were a ton of games like that, but I loved playing at Gutterson Fieldhouse. I really did.
So can you tell me a little about, I know one of your guys was Jeff Hill, and you guys have maintained your relationship. Tell me about your relationship with Hilly, and even though you're only teammates for 2 years, it seems like you got a lifelong friend there.
Oh, absolutely. Hilly and his wife Emily are two of the greatest people I know. They're unreal. They're solid friends. And, we go on vacation with them, every summer with a group of us, and we've been getting closer and closer over the years. So, I mean, Haley's the type of guy that he's a hard worker. He puts his nose to the grindstone, so to speak, and the kid does everything 100%. And that's the way I like to do things, and that's kind of common ground between him and I. So, but we've had a great friendship so far, and now that I'm back and we're living in the same area, it's been great to see him.
So is he like the fun uncle to your kids?
Did he want me to tell you what my kids call him?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe just curious. Just curious.
Yeah, they have a nickname to him. Maybe I'll hold it back on this one. Maybe we'll have an interview another time. But yeah, they love Jeff. They absolutely love him. And you know, when we go on vacation, we go with two other families, other former players as well. And you know, he's so good with the kids, and he plays with them. He chops up their food. He does everything. You know what I mean? So he's definitely an extension of the family in that respect. So the kids love him.
What other alums do you see a lot around the area?
So I actually work directly with Joey Gasparini, my roommate in high school and college, and teammate obviously as well. Ben Driver's in the area. He's up in St. Albans. I mean, I hope I don't forget anybody, but Torrey Mitchell is in the street over from me. Joey lives down the street. Tommy Child, Derek Wagar, Timmy Plant. I mean, we have a ton of guys around here. We have some other alums that I didn't play with, but I'm good buddies with, is Mike Torney and Martin Wild. And I mean, it just keeps going on and on. Like I said, there's a ton of us around here, and when we get together, it's a lot of fun.
So Hilly told me I had to ask you about your college diet, and apparently there was a fast food place that you got to tell me about.
All right, so listen. So when I was at school, the one thing I could, you know, back then there was, you know, the whole the how do I put this? The education
Emphasis on nutrition.
was kind of, yeah, exactly. The emphasis on nutrition was a little bit different, and you know, I was a little late to the party, so I had a couple extra pounds on me. And there's a fast food joint in Connecticut called Duchess, which I just loved. And you know, people compare it to McDonald's, but it doesn't even hold a flame. It's got different stuff. It's got, you know, hot dogs and bacon bits. It's unbelievable. And to be honest, I've been in the area. I probably haven't had it in like 4 or 5 years, probably. Last time I went through, I actually had my daughters in the car, and I pulled in, and I was like, "You guys got to try this." They obviously didn't think it was that great, but I still love it, and that definitely contributed to my slight weight problem.
When you were coming back to campus after a summer of just crushing Duchess, what was that first day of working out like?
Oh man, you know what? So I always worked out through this. So that was the thing. Like I worked out like an animal, like all the other guys did. We all had, you know, intense programs. We put these 2-3 hour sessions in. I used to live here in the summer, so I used to work out and then go work at Centennial Field for the Lake Monsters, but doing grounds crew. But you know, I was strong, but I was just couldn't get lean like I wanted to, and that was definitely due to the diet issue. But I quickly learned that after I left school, and you know, I see these guys walking around now. The program definitely, you know, hammered down on that after I had left. So I don't want to make it sound like I was a huge issue with my diet, but I would always lose weight during the season. So if anyone had any
So the
questions about that.
you figured it out. It was fine. So how about that Lake Monsters gig? I've heard a bunch of alums talk about that. Can you tell me about the, like, if it sounds like you guys had a monopoly on the Lake Monsters grounds crew jobs for years. What were the summers with the boys like?
You know what? It started with another alum, Jerry Gernander. He was running the whole show over there, and Gasparini was there, and I ended up coming up for the summer, and Joey hooked me up with the job with Jerry, and it just kind of went. And we had some other guys like Phil Youngclaws and Hilly, and we had some other guys working there as well. And I mean, it was great. We worked hard. I mean, we put 12, 14-hour days in sometimes, but you know, on our off time, we're playing cards and shooting the breeze and just having a good time being outside and working together. So it was a cool summer. And I tell you that sometimes when things get hard, you're sitting there and you're like, man, I wish I could go back and work a day at the ball field. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, us broadcasters, we get that every once in a while, just like working at a baseball field. It's not bad.
There you go.
So another thing Hilly wanted me to ask you about, which I didn't know. I mean, I talked to him a little bit about the Hero of the Gut and how he put that together, but I don't know. He didn't know if you would know that you were his inspiration for doing that, where we honor a military member every home game at UVM, and they get a standing ovation from not only the crowd, but both benches. The referees are standing there clapping. Can you tell me about He said he got that idea from you through all the stuff that you did in not only your college career, but your pro career a little bit more. Tell me about that and how important that stuff was to you.
Yeah, so I've always had a strong connection to the military. My dad's a Marine, and other than that, I've had some friends who've served and went overseas. And I obviously didn't go that route, but I thought the next best way was to try to support them as best I can. So when I was actually playing in Germany, there were some army bases over there, and through a connection, we were able to get some of the guys who were injured on the front lines to one of my German games. There was about 20 of them. It just was unbelievable, and it was so great to meet them and hear their stories. And even my German teammates were just so blown away by these soldiers and kind of the character they possessed. It just kind of was contagious. So when I came back and I played another 5 years over here in North America, you know, I got to Cleveland and got together with the marketing team, and we created Hometown Hero. It was called Cypress Soldiers, and we would meet them at Friday night games and get some tickets and bring them down to the locker room. And if they had kids, bring them in for a locker room tour and things of that nature. So it was a huge thrill. And you know, everybody kind of puts the emphasis on, oh, you're doing such a great job with it. I actually just loved meeting them and hearing their side of things and what maybe what they needed or what foundations needed some funding. And over the years, you try to contribute as much as you can and kind of create some awareness about how important these men and women are, you know, not only to us directly, but the entire country and the entire world. So that kind of segued over to Utica, where we did, you know, my last 2 years, we played in a war memorial arena that was just totally dedicated toward military appreciation. So I went even a step further, and that was every single game. We were able to meet military members, and I saw it. A lot of other teams are doing it. A lot of other players are doing it. And I think it's just the greatest thing. So when Hilly and I spoke about it a couple of times, and he just executed the plan perfectly. And like you said, everybody's standing on their feet, and they're bigger than the game. Clearly, you see both teams standing up, the refs, the fans, massive support. And I think it's important for those military men and women to feel that.
Did you meet any military men or women who just had insane stories, like jumping out of helicopters into oceans and just absolutely crazy stuff?
You know what? And that's just the thing. Like, you think about what we're going through right now, you know, 2 weeks stay at home and people are having issues with it. And believe me, I know it's hard. It's hard. I'm not trying to, you know, say my situation is easier or harder than anyone else's, but you know, I'm talking to World War II vets who are 18 years old getting blown off ships in the Pacific. I mean, it's crazy. And they're still alive and well and happy and proud of them, you know, proud of you know, the brothers and sisters that they've lost in war and in their country. So it's very motivating, and it kind of creates that team aspect that I think is just amazing. I'm just obviously a huge American supporter, and especially of our military. So, I mean, these guys I've met submarine commanders. I've met, you know, helicopter, you know, side gunners, pilots, you know, infantry, military, you know, snipers. I mean, these guys are just, they've done it all. And I try not to ask too many questions. If they're comfortable telling me some stories, I'll definitely listen. So there's been some special stories and lessons that I've learned from them through talking with them.
So I think we've talked a little bit about how your legacy at UVM's impacted university and that you've stayed connected with all the guys, but how did being a UVM men's hockey player and then an alum impact your life, whether that's in pro hockey or just taking you into your future?
You know what? I mean, it's funny. I obviously, if I didn't go to UVM, I probably wouldn't have settled in Burlington. And I grew up in Connecticut, and I used to call that home, but you know, the second I bought my house here, and I barely lived in it while I was, you know, playing, but this was always home to me. And I'm so grateful for that. And I'm grateful for Mike Gilligan coming to my house and telling me that I should come play for him. And I trusted him, and it was one of the best decisions I ever made. I met my wife here at UVM, and she loves the area just as much as I do. And I'll spend the rest of my life here. You're literally gonna have to drag me out of here if you want to. But Yeah, I mean, just attending a school, playing for that program, wearing that jersey, meeting the guys that I did, being in touch with the guys that I still am in touch with. I wake up every day pretty fortunate and pretty happy. So no complaints from my end.
All right, Jamie, anything you want to get in here before we let you go and get back to teaching math or whatever the next task is?
Yeah, everybody take a deep breath. Everything's gonna be okay, and go watch the Cats next year. It's gonna be fun.
Big thanks to Jamie for coming on the show this week. If you have alums that want to get in contact with us, they can tweet at UVM Athletics or contact anybody in the department to get to me so that we can get you on the show as well. That was our first of hopefully many alumni interviews here on Catadon Insider, presented by Milton Cat, and we'll talk to you soon.